Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. 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 Father God, we thank you for one more day. We bless you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, God. We say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you, God. We bless your name, God. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless your name. Bless your name, Father God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for sitting high. Thank you for looking low. And thank you for being in control of every situation. Father God, thank you. Thank you for squashing every satanic agenda, plot, plan, scheme, ploy, and contract that Satan has set up to come against us this day, Father God. Oh, glory be to God as we decree and declare and declare and decree. Oh, Father God, that it will not prosper. It will not take root and it will not come to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Over, 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 and over again. Thank you. We embrace the gifts of this brand new day. We thank you for it. Father God, and we surrender the day back over to you, that you would unfold this day according to your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Thank you for our service unto you. Thank you, Father God, for your approval and your modifications. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask that you would have your way in our services on today, Father. May you and you alone be glorified and your people edified. Satan is already terrified. And Jesus Christ is King, and Jesus Christ, he is Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forevermore. And our soul says, amen, amen, and amen. We bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Top of the morning to you. Welcome back to the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Mentoring Kingdom Leadership. I'm your host and your kingdom coach on this morning, Apostle Dr. Alfreda, bringing you greetings from the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. We are thanking God, amen, hallelujah, for this holy week of celebration, this holy calendar, or the holiest event on the calendar. Glory be to God. On the Christian calendar, on the non-Christian calendar, matter of fact, there would not even be a calendar if it was not for this holiday. Time wouldn't even matter. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But it does matter. Hallelujah. Because God has established it, even though we are winding down in it. Hallelujah. So we bless the Lord on today. Amen. Amen. And amen. We want to thank God. Amen. For Good Friday. Hallelujah. And we want to thank God for Good Saturday. We want to thank God for good days. Hallelujah. Every day is a good day because it's a day that the Lord God, he has made. Therefore, we shall rejoice and be glad in it, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. God's name is so great, and God's name is so greatly to be praised. Amen. On Thursday, we had an opportunity to record our Good Friday services with our 7 speakers. We want to thank God. Amen for that. Glory be to God. We did an overview on yesterday of 6 of the 7 last words. Glory be to God. We saved the last one on purpose today because today what we would like to do is we want to share with you the clip of so 10-minute clip or so, give a couple minutes, amen, of our sister minister, Nia Mullins, who happens to be my youngest daughter. Most of you are accustomed to hearing from my mother, Bishop Westfield, and of course, our Pastor Erica. We thank God for Pastor Erica. Amen. Glory be to God. But today, we want to play the clip coming from Sister Nia Mullins. And she spoke on, Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And so it's so appropriate because these were the very last words that Jesus spoke. And glory be to God. And then we're going to take those last words, amen, hallelujah, and sort of establish, amen, our thought for today. Glory be to God. Also, at the end of our service, be prepared to take our Holy Communion. Amen. We want to do that today. Amen. You don't have to, amen, get excited. Amen. You don't have to go searching through the kitchen cabinets looking for matzah and looking for this and that. Amen. You can grab a pretzel stick, a potato chip, a piece of bread, or a cracker. Amen. And to represent the body. Amen. And if you have nothing else, you can take a sip of water to represent the blood. It's all symbolic. Amen. Of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed for you and for me. Amen. And so let us begin with the replay from our sister Nia Mullins on the Good Friday service. Amen. As she speaks about Jesus' last word, where he commended his body unto the Lord. Amen and amen.
Sister Erica was going to speak on because she said that she found it ironic, which I did not know at all that she was going to say what she said, but she said she found it ironic that Jesus said in his last moments, in the 7 last things that were so purposefully chosen for our Christian walk, that he was thirsty prior to saying that it is finished. Meanwhile, as I started to meditate upon the 7th saying of Christ, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, I found it very ironic that it is finished did not finish at all. Because it is finished is so declarative. It is finished is such a powerful statement that it was finished. However, we know that he was talking about his works and his purpose on earth rather than his true and eternal life. So why did he go from it is finished to Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit? I have 3 major key points on this 7th last saying that I would like to expound upon. First thing first, when it comes to Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, we must know when Jesus says this to his Father, God the Father, he is showing, demonstrating that God is truly a place of refuge. Now, this is not the first time that Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit was stated in the Bible. If you take it back to Psalms 31, verses 1 through 5, you would read in the Old Testament, and Jesus comes in the New Testament, so therefore you know it was prior to him being on this earth. It says, Psalms 31, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. So this is a Psalm of David in which he speaks in the 31st chapter of to God, the Father himself. And he says, the original sayer of Father, into thy hands I commit thy spirit. But he was not being physically crucified, such as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Instead, he was being spiritually crucified. He was separating himself from being carnally minded to then turning to being spiritually minded. If you continue to read on in that verse, he shows that he was choosing not to lean on his own ways, but instead acknowledge him, Christ, our Father. He's separating himself from the world, the false idols, his enemies, his sorrows, his grief, his agony, and entrusting himself completely into the hands of his Father. So you have to think, Jesus did not coincidentally save his seventh saying. He did not be crucified on that cross. As Sister Shelby had said, he was breathless. It wasn't as if Jesus was talking as I am or as all the previous speakers have spoken. He is belting out these words on the cross. He is in pain. He is in agony. And once he declared it finished, he purposefully quoted the Psalm of David and said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, showing that just as David has shown us in the Psalms 31, that God is truly a present help in the time of trouble, that even in the darkest hour, as Sister Shannon had mentioned, with the compassion that he had for us all, he was still turning to our God, God the Father, to commend his spirit, his place of refuge, his solid rock that he stood upon, despite what the world was looking like and feeling like in his very last moments. So when it comes to you in your life, to whomever is watching this right now, what are you facing that you feel as though you need to commit to God? I double dare you to not only commit it, but turn completely into God and seek him as your rock, as your fortress, as your strength, and he will be your place of refuge. Now, the second point, God is a place of refuge, but with Father into thy hands, I commit my spirit. Another thing that I deemed from this message is that the spirit is most definitely a separate entity from the body. Now, Jesus could have easily said, Father, into thine hands I commit my body, because his body was in pain. Father, into thine hands I commit my soul. But he purposefully said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So what's the difference? If we were to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, whenever you get a chance, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the spirit, the soul, and the body are all what comprises us as human beings. So what's the difference? Well, the body, according to an article from the Bible of America, says that it is the visible external part of our being, and it contains the soul. Our body exists and it contacts the tangible things of the material world that we are able to access with our five senses. We can see, we can smell, we can taste, we can hear, and we can feel the things of this world. And Jesus, his body was crucified. He had the thorns on his head. He had the whips on his back. His hands and his feet were nailed to the cross, and his body was truly in excruciating pain from what I can only imagine. So his body was being crucified. Now his soul, the soul is the place that houses our spirit, which is within our bodies. our soul, and the best way to put it, it's our personality. It's the reason that we are who we are, how we are. It's the reason we think how we think. It's the reason that we move the way that we move. We reason, we consider, we feel feelings. Our psyche is within our soul, as they say. And that's how we experience emotions, such as happiness, anger, love, sorrow. So Jesus, his soul, as he was going through the bodily plane, his soul was also going through a lot of different feelings on the cross. He showed us, as it's been beautifully stated from previous speakers, he showed us compassion. That's a feeling from the soul. He showed that he was in anguish and he felt sorrow because he felt forgotten on the cross. And his soul truly was going through the motions of what his body was enduring. But then there's that third part that's separate from the body, that's separate from the soul, and that is our spirit. And what's beautiful about the human spirit is that it's the deepest, most innermost part of any man. By what we are aware in this earthly realm, that we are the only ones of God's beautiful creations that have a spirit. We have birds, we have bees, we have all these beautiful creations, the flowers and the trees, but they don't have spirits as we have spirits. And that is what makes us oh so special, because as Jesus was on that cross and his nails, and the nails were in his hands and feet, and his body is in anguish, and his soul is going through the motions of forgiveness, and it's going through compassion, but then it's going through anguish, his spirit, the innermost part of him, could not be touched by man. The innermost part of him could not be afflicted by the things that he had to endure in the earthly realm. And that shows the power of our spirit. And this also demonstrates that Jesus was strictly committing to God the one part of him that man could not have. So when it comes to you, what are you currently facing in your life? Are your current circumstances wreaking havoc on your body, sicknesses, ailments, disease? Is your soul going through consistent emotions and afflictions? And some days you're happy, some days you're sad, some days you don't know how to feel because of what's going on around you. Because as long as you're alive and you claim to be a child of God, you will endure on this earth. And there will be spiritual warfare that you cannot get away from. However, never forget 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Or perhaps Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment shall be condemned, no matter what that may happen towards your body or your soul, your spirit, is protected as long as it is in the Father's hands. So that leads me to point three that I take away from this message. Number one, God is a present help in the time of trouble. He is truly our refuge. Part two, the spirit is separate from the body. And that leads to part three, that death is truly not the end. Now, as I previously mentioned before, you should commit your body and soul and spirit unto the Lord while you are alive, because that is the best way to ensure that you will live forever. However, if death were the end, we would only have had six sayings and it would have ended at it is finished. However, Jesus choosing to commend his spirit unto his Father prior to taking his last breath indicates that the spirit was not under condemnation and the spirit was not going to die, but instead the spirit had another destination outside of his soul that was housed within his body. So although life is temporary for those who are in damnation to an eternity in hell, because that's the only time it is temporary when your spirit is not right with Christ, life is everlasting for those who are saved through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We all, just as Jesus had to come in his earthly realm, we all have to take a first breath, right? I think about the birth of my three children and the beautiful sight to see of them taking their first breath. And I'm sure my mom, if nothing, she probably remembers that day when I took my first breath or my sisters took their first breath. It's something that you can never forget, because that's the reason I believe so many women continue having kids. You forget the pain once you see the beauty of the life that came. But the same way we had our first breath, at some point we have to have our last. And the beauty of that in this world and the way that God created it, we don't know when that could be. It could be when Jesus comes back. It could be sooner. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Who are we to ever say? Because he says that no man knows the day nor the hour. So as is explained before, the soul may perish with the body. The feelings that you go through day to day of happiness, anger, sorrow, joy, that will all soon be gone when your body is gone and no longer pumping blood, and you're no longer able to move your limbs, and you're no longer able to be who you are in this present time. But the spirit is separate. So what happens when the body dies? What happens when the soul perishes? Use your Bible as a guide, because God gives the answers to this question in just a few verses where he mentions what happens after life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or perhaps St. John 5:24, Jesus stated out of his own mouth, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Or the most famously quoted, John 3:16, as God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in addition, there's many other Bible verses. If you use that weapon, that tool that you have called the B-I-B-L-E, I guarantee you will find many more verses that you will be able to quote to demonstrate that you have a greater means to an end past this thing called life. So with that, in present times, present day, to bring it all together, rest assured, this world, this earth, our bodies will one day perish, but your spirit has the ability to live on forever. With our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will not be let down, no matter what's going on around you. Inflation may be high, but my God is higher. Eggs may cost more than a dime a dozen, but I'm telling you, it's all going to pass. Sicknesses are in the land. There's nothing that we can do about that, because the Bible speaks on these times. Diseases may be running rampant and prevalent amongst the earth. How often do you hear cancer, cancer, cancer? But my God, that is nothing but a weapon. And what did he say? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And there are wars. They're commonplace in our life. We have war within the United States. We have wars with other countries. There's other countries in wars with each other. And this is not anything new. It's just becoming more tumultuous as time goes on. The American dollar just may lose its value and no longer have worth. But would that shock you if you read the book of Revelation when it talks about what will happen in the end times? Crime may continue to prevail within our communities. I don't care if you live in Philadelphia, and I don't care if you live in Beverly Hills. If you are not right with Christ, none of that will matter. There may be earthquakes in diverse places. Famine may come to the land. But my God has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten about you, and he has not forgotten about me. He has not forgotten about any of his children, because he would not have taken that last breath prior to saying that he commits his spirit into the Father's hands. And he would not have said, it is finished. And he would not have thirsted and taken on the sins if he were not to be that Father that who was going to forgive us. And he did not forget about us, because that was the purpose of him even coming to earth and fulfilling his mission. So I implore you that let my God, our God, the one and only God, be your refuge in the time of trouble. Be my refuge in the time of trouble. When things seem like you just can't go anymore, you feel left alone. As Sister Shelby said, you feel like your angels clocked out. Know that you can call on God, who is a very present help in the time of trouble. Just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ turned to him and called out to him and committed his spirit to him and used him as a place of refuge, even right prior to his last breath. And although your body may be weakened at times, right, and your soul may be distraught, and you may go through different various things that you may not even want to speak to others, that you may handle in private, or perhaps you do speak to others that you still feel you have no resolve to, your spirit should bring forth a peace.
Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. And you know I was a proud mother. And you know I was a proud mother. Amen. I kept teasing Nia. I said, Nia, I want you to come and bring a message on our early morning platform. And, well, she didn't know that she brought this message. Amen. Glory be to God. So I'll let her know today that she finally, amen, we finally heard from her. But I was a proud mother to have. Matter of fact, I got happy. I actually went into a shouting mode when Nia preached this message on our Good Friday platform as she concluded, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And beloved, it's a very, very appropriate for us today to present this. And also the testimony on this is our Elder Valerie Carte testified on yesterday. That she had two people in her car. She was doing some missionary work on yesterday, and she was listening to the Good Friday service, and she didn't get a chance to watch all, to listen to all of it, but she heard Nia as concluding on, Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. Also, the two people in the back of her car also heard the message that she brought. Afterwards, I came and brought the altar call, and immediately after Nia finished, and those two individuals gave their life to Christ. Beloved, you see why we get up early in the morning to meet here on 6 o'clock. You see why we go the extra mile of the way. You see why we meet at the prayer line. You see why we're working with the young people. Beloved, what happened yesterday? It's not only that Elder Carte said she didn't even want to. They was taking her out of the way, but she still went to accommodate these two individuals. Not only did Sister Valerie get a star in her crown for those two souls coming to Christ, but she had them in her car and they was listening to Nia's message. She got a star in her crown. Because those two souls got saved, Nia got a star in her crown for sacrificing to preach the word and teach the word of God. Not only did Nia get a star in her crown, I got a star in my crown for the sacrifice and putting everything together, amen, that the word of God can go out. And guess what? If you support this ministry, you got a star in your crown. It's a domino effect. Woo, my God. And so, beloved, amen, I had access to Valerie, amen, to send me the poem that she read last night on our Friday night praise party. I guess she didn't get a chance to do it, but that's okay. Jesus commended his body, beloved. It was over. Amen. He gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus died. Amen. He was dead. He was graveyard dead. Amen. Matter of fact, he went to the graveyard. But beloved, 1 Peter 3 tells us this. Hallelujah. Verse number 18. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, in whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Come on, somebody. Jesus didn't stop working. Isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't stop working. Jesus gave up the ghost. Glory be to God. He went straight to hell. He went straight to hell, started loosing some prisons. Beloved, amen. Glory be to God. Because those who had died before Christ died, amen, they couldn't be resurrected before Christ was resurrected. So glory be to God. Hallelujah. There was a place called paradise that they was in waiting. Oh, glory be to God. Jesus walked all through hell. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. And at the end of his walk in hell, glory be to God, as we talk some more about it on tomorrow, amen, he stopped to pass Satan's path. He probably went busting down Satan's door, and he snatched the keys. Ah, my God, sookie. He didn't ask for the keys. He had already earned the keys. He had already fulfilled the law. But he snatched the keys of hell and of death. I believe Jesus snatched those keys so hard he broke Satan's arm. My God. Woo! And tomorrow, everything was silent on Saturday. Everything was silent. On that second day, everything was silent. Yeah, the disciples didn't know what was going on. The governor's officials didn't know what was going on. Jesus' mother didn't know what was going on. Jesus' brothers didn't know what was going on. Didn't nobody know what was going on. But I come to tell you, beloved, glory be to God, hell knew what was going on, because that's where Jesus was. Hallelujah. And God knew what was going on, because he knew, hallelujah, 3 days later. That 3 days later, hallelujah, nobody knew the whole story. Everybody was on pins and needles. What's next? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was on Saturday. But on Sunday, everybody knew. Everybody knew what everybody need to know today. Everybody ought to know. Get your Holy Communion ready. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know. I'm glad I know. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Glory be to God. Take your masa, your bread, amen, breadcrumbs, pretzels, potato chips, Ritz crackers. Grab a cookie. Don't even sweat it. Don't even sweat it. Let's grab it. Amen. We're about to bless it right now. It's all symbolic. Amen. You don't have to drink no grape juice. If you don't have grape juice, if you don't have a sip of wine, sip of orange juice, take some water. Glory be to God. If you're scared to drink the city's water, take a little bottle of water, a little sip on a little tea. Amen. It's all right. We don't get real religious with this thing right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was broken for us. We say thank you, Father, that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of his peace is upon us, and by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. We say thank you. Father, we say thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for us. Father, that without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption for sins. We say thank you that it didn't have to go this far, but he did. And Father God, as we partake now in this holy, most sacred communion, Father God, we ask that you would bless the matzah or whatever we are holding in our hands that represents the body, and whatever we are holding in our hand that represents the blood, that you would bless it. Father God, we realize that this is all symbolic, Father, of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. And we offer it up to you for your blessings as we eat. And as often as we drink in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this holy, holy week, holy event, Father, as often as we do this in remembrance of you, thank you. Bless it now as we partake. Beloved, let us eat now of the body of our Lord and Savior. Amen. That was broken for us. Thank you, God. Speaking about significance. Thank you for the body. Now, beloved, and let us partake of the blood of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that was shed for you and share for me. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. The blood done sign my name. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. The blood done sign my name. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. The blood done sign my name. Oh, the blood done sign my name. Father, we say thank you for the Holy Communion. Thank you for the word of God that have gone forth today. Jesus completed the assignment. He finished the work. He gave up the ghost. He died, but he didn't finish working. He went into hell and completed the, he completed the assignment on earth, and he went into hell for 3 days and completed the assignment in hell. Whew. Then he rose. Oh God, we anticipate tomorrow as we come to celebrate all around the world the resurrection, the victory, the triumph of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and what that means to us because of what he completed in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Good Friday services. God, we're so proud of our speakers. We're so proud. Even the ones that got nervous and backed out, God, we thank you for them. Thank you that they tried. Better luck next time. Father God, we want to say thank you that you were still pleased. You confirmed it, Father God. That's the two souls we know came to Christ. We can't even talk about the ones that we don't know about. Matter of fact, three souls came to Christ. Because I received a text message last night that somebody gave their life to Christ on Sister Shannon's presentation.
I got that late last night. So souls are still being saved from that Good Friday service. Thank you, God. Your word will never, ever, ever return unto you void. We give your name praise. We thank you for this holy week. And it was a holy week because it was holiness within us. Some of us didn't enter a church building, God, because when we woke up in the morning, we was already in the church building because we are the church building. God, thank you for making it simple and making it plain. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Give us a good day today. Quiet through in the land. Early in the morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Father, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. Cancel bad news, cancel tears, cancel sorrow. And we give your name praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, in form of announcements, what we're going to do tomorrow. Now, I know this is God, but I just tell the Lord, yes. Holy Spirit just told me I'm going to be on Facebook tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, to bring the Sunday morning message to our social media audience, 6 o'clock in the morning. I normally meet at 10, but tomorrow for sunrise service. We're going to do sunrise service 6 a.m. on social media. Then we'll be back here at 12 o'clock, amen, for our normal, amen, Sunday service. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And then, amen, whatever else the Lord wants to do after that, he'll make it known. Tomorrow is Pastor Westfield's Temple of Refuge first day and there. In their new location. It's not a permanent location. It's a temporary location. They're sharing a church, Seventh-day Adventist, and they worship on Saturday. So Sundays, nothing was happening. So they're going to be there until they find their permanent location. Amen. But tomorrow is the first day. Amen. Services start at 11 o'clock. Amen. If you would like to, amen, visit them, amen, just let us know, and I'll make sure that we get the address to you. It's in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. All right. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. If you'd like to sow a seed during this holy week, this is a very fertile week. Very fertile week. Amen. Glory be to God. And you know, the fertile seasons is the time you want to plant. When a woman wants to conceive, amen, she studies her cycle and she knows, amen, which of those 3 days of the month is going to be most fertile for her. And her husband comes in and plants a seed during that fertility season. This is the most fertile week in the Christian holiday. If you want to plant your seed into God's word, this is definitely your time to do it. Several ways you can sow. Amen. Glory be to God. Visit our website at lifewordjesus.org. Amen. And you can sow there. Thank God for you. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 461. P.O. Box 461. Glenside, Pennsylvania, 19038. Our Cash App address is $LifeWordJesus. And we thank God for your giving. Amen and amen. God bless all those, Father God, who are sowing in faith today. Thank you for the seed and thank you for the sower. And thank you for returning 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold return. In Jesus' name we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present your faults before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty dominion, and power, both now and forever. And the church said, amen, amen, and amen. Everybody have a wonderful, blessed weekend. Lord's willing, amen. Lord's willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. Pastor Alfreda, Philadelphia, signing out. Love you.